Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Comedy Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy. And as always, it's followed by the White Noise After Show this week, featuring Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley, who join me in the studio now. How's it going, lads and ladies?
Very well, thanks. I'm glad I'm not the special guest anymore.
Yeah, quite good to accompany this fool.
That was directed at Connor, not me.
I disagree. I saw a finger directly pointed at herself.
Okay, well, Connor was the only person who saw that, so unlucky.
I think
there.
You guys suffer from willful blindness.
Yeah, something like that. Alright, so just a reminder before the White Noise Show starts, you can, as always, keep up with us throughout the week on Twitter and Facebook at White Noise UBC, and you can also check out the best of at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com, and you can, if you're interested, send in any questions about the show. Maybe you've got something to say about it, something you think about it, or maybe you're insulted by it and you want to tell us why. That's okay. Send them in and we'll read them out and we'll talk about it. That's what the after show is for. But without further ado, oh, and if you're going to send them in, I should give you the email address. It's whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. But without further ado, it's time for some White Noise. Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by Claire's 14-Day Cleanse. Purge your body, then burn your underwear. First up tonight, Elvis is back.
Good evening, Elvis. Welcome back. How was your Christmas?
The usual. Family, gifts, fist fights, and resentment, but that's what I get for inviting Grandma. Hey, where's Dolly?
She is currently touring Japan with Garth Brooks. It's being billed as the Darth Tour. Apparently there was a lot of disappointed Star Wars fans in attendance.
So, which lucky cat gets to help me out this week?
We have been fortunate enough to acquire top Irish agent Bono.
I'm working with a dog?
No, you know Bono of U2.
Never saw the sequel.
No, it's a band. They are huge, Elvis.
Oh, great. More fat guys.
No, they are a successful rock band from Ireland.
Oh, well, why didn't you just say that?
Elvis, meet Bono.
Hey, what's up, man?
God blesses you, Elvis.
Thanks.
It's such a delight to finally meet the man who was nearly as successful as me.
Nearly as successful? I'm the fucking king, man.
Oh yes, but I'm God.
Is this guy for real?
Your mission today, gentlemen, is to infiltrate the protection of notorious sociopath and potential dictator Donald Trump and neutralize his threat against America.
Oh, right on. I finally get to whack that guy.
You wanna wank him?
No. Here that means kill him, Bono.
Oh, I see.
But that isn't what we're doing either. It would be too obvious to kill him, so we are going to simply remove his brain. We're pretty sure no one will notice.
And how the hell are we going to do that?
Here are your tools. An X-Acto knife and an ice cream scoop should do it. To get close enough to perform the operation, you will be posing as Republican supporters.
Ooh!
Not those sort of Republicans, Bono.
Oh.
You will slip into one of Trump's rallies.
Trump!
And get backstage, where he always takes a pre-debate nap. He is old, after all.
This is a bleeding lot of rednecks.
This is awesome!
Not much diversity.
No. There, look. There's a black guy.
He's working at the concessions.
Well, we all gotta earn a living, man. I mean, shit. Anyway, I'm reading up on this Trump guy on the internets, and you know, he's got some good ideas, man.
You're fucking joking, right?
Nah, he's all about, like, you know, stopping ISIS.
And how's he gonna do that?
Isn't it obvious? He's gonna kick their ass!
Any other gems?
Oh, he's also gonna stop Iran getting a nuclear bomb.
And how exactly?
He's gonna kick their ass!
Right.
And he's also gonna let us have our guns.
And how's he going to do that?
He's gonna keep everything the same.
Oh, whatever. Let's just find a way to his dressing room.
We gotta get past his bodyguard. Leave it to me. Hey, howdy, partner. May I go and shake the great man's hand?
I need you to step back, sir.
Hey, come on, man. It's me, Elvis.
Elvis Costello? I thought you were British.
No, the real Elvis. Elvis Presley.
Doesn't ring a bell.
How about now?
Jesus, Elvis. Everyone's looking at us.
It's fine, everybody. I was standing my ground.
Here it is, Elvis. That is one garish door.
Oh, it's gorgeous, man.
It smells like garlic in here.
Oh, yeah, let's keep away Karl Rove.
Okay, he's definitely asleep. Max. All you, Elvis.
Wait, I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
What?
I told you. This guy's all right, man. I mean, I can never hurt him. You do it.
Fine, out of the way. Oh, it's hard work. Like cutting through leather.
You're just cutting through the hair, man.
Oh. Come on, you bastard! There, got it. Yuck! It's like 3 days old gravy. Ugh, I got some of my suede shoes.
Hey, those are blue suede. Have you been in my locker?
No, I stole these from the Edge after I pushed them off stage last year. There, done. Now let's get out of here. Okay, here he comes.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the next president of these United States of America, it's Donald Trump!
Thank you, fine people of America. We cannot stand by and idly watch our once great nation fall to Sharia law and the Hollywood Jews. Oh shit, he's exactly the same.
Unlucky, Bono. You didn't realize Trump has two heads. One is always shoved up his ass. Next up tonight, someone needs advice.
You totally screwed me, Dad.
What?
I did exactly what you said, and now my girlfriend's dumped me.
Oh, son, I'm really sorry.
How can this be?
Well, the thing is, Mickey. Yeah, look, sit down. Let me explain. You see, I've been making it up as I go along.
What?
You know, like, no one actually has a clue what they're doing.
But what about successful people?
Fluke, I guess.
But you did a good job raising us 6 kids.
Exactly! 6 kids! What was I thinking?
But what about all the advice you've given me?
Well, most of that I stole from 80s sitcoms, and the rest just comes out of me backside.
Well, some people, though, they must know what they're doing.
I mean, I wouldn't count on it. I mean, really, the best you can do is try to make it look like you know what you're doing. And if that fails, blame society.
Is this why your mum got divorced?
No. That was because I slept with my secretary.
You did what?
Oh, give me a break. You'd understand if you met him. Oh, great ass.
Parents don't know everything, but don't act smug. Neither do you. Next up tonight, we hear from some hardworking air stewards.
We're quite lucky to be a part of USS Air. We're quite lucky to be part of USS Air. The other day, Leon came in and he told us, you don't have to be super nice to the customers. Just be yourselves.
We were really inspired by that approach because we don't want to be fake all the time. It's nice to have the liberty to work on your own terms.
If they cry, that's their prerogative. That's what Leon told us, and I quite agreed with him once I looked up what it meant.
Is that a photo of your wife? Oh, she's beautiful. Well, if you ever want to see her again, then buckle your seatbelt!
Me and Tammy are huge fans of Bad Boys too, so we like to do a good cop, bad cop thing. Usually, I'll be the good cop and Tammy will be the bad cop. Of course you can use your phone, Ahmed, but be aware, if Tammy sees you using it, she's going to tear your cock off. Bag of peanuts.
Sir, what do you think you're doing?
Leaving the plane?
Sir, sit down immediately. The captain hasn't turned off the fasten seatbelt sign.
But we've been stopped for 20 minutes.
The light is still on. Now sit the fuck down or I will cut a bitch.
Do you sell any duty-free?
Duty-free? No, of course we don't have any duty-free, because we pay our taxes, you freeloader. To be honest, some of these people are scum of the earth types. I mean, we just try to treat them like they treat us if they were in our position.
A glass of water? Well, we only have 1 gallon bottles of water, and for safety reasons, we have to make sure you chug the whole thing in one go. Through a towel. I know you have an assigned seat, sir, but I have to insist that you sit in the front so that I can keep an eye on you. We don't allow war criminals to sit in the back of the plane.
Sometimes we get requests from the passengers to get more champagne or to grab a banana they keep in their pockets. For our first-class passengers, we do provide fellatio. No one ever said this job was easy, but the smiles on people's faces are their own reward. No, we don't have any tranquilizers, but if you're a good boy, we can sneak to the bathroom and do a few lines later, and it's cash only.
We're not really scared of losing passengers by this method. We're a budget airline. They want to fly cheap for a reason. So quite frankly, they can all go fuck themselves.
Folks, we're about 25 minutes from landing. Last chance to join the Mile High Club. If you need, I've got some extra condoms and lube for the lazy people.
Your TV's not working? Well, back in my day, your type weren't even allowed to fly, so I don't think I'd be complaining. I hope we're not giving off the wrong impression.
We're not genuinely malicious.
But the job necessitates it.
And it's probably the best approach for our passengers, considering we are taking them to Guantanamo Bay.
I don't enjoy flying. I prefer swimming. Next up tonight, we hear from an activist.
Good evening, and welcome to People with Too Much Time on Their Hands. I'm Diane Righteous, and my guest here tonight is men's rights activist Alan Wining. Hello, Alan.
Good evening, Diane.
What is it you're campaigning for, Alan?
Well, Diane, men everywhere have been persecuted for being male for nearly 5 years now. Men are being painted as brutish, uncaring, and creepy.
But men are creepy.
But we can't help it. I mean, you wouldn't criticize a dwarf for being short.
It's not quite the same.
It is. It's just the way we look. I mean, what are we to do? Walk around grinning inoffensively? I mean, A, that would be exhausting. And B, then you would just say we all look maniacal.
Okay, so besides perception, what else are you upset about?
Well, as I said, we are not all brutish and aggressive. I am terrified of the dark. I'm scared of talking to women. And I'm petrified of people of other races.
Okay, I kind of get what you're saying about it not being fair to assume men must be brave.
Exactly. Or hardworking. I don't want to be a breadwinner. I am perfectly happy to do a bit of vacuuming and make microwave dinners. Fuck getting up for a job.
How progressive of you.
And another thing, we need to stop persecuting men for the way we look. I mean, we can't all look like Hollywood stars. We can't all be hunks like John Goodman and Steve Buscemi.
Right. One final question. How do you intend to go about changing public opinion on these matters?
Well, what we are trying to do is reach out to men using the mediums that they use the most. So we advertise in porn mainly.
Thank you for joining us, Alan. You have been listening to People with Too Much Time on Their Hands. Join us again next time.
I always wanted to fight for a cause, but I could never be bothered. Next up tonight is another Writer's Q&A.
Good evening, and welcome to Writers Without Borders, chapters or coals, because they've all been closed. Tonight's panel consists of famed astronomer and 80s version of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Carl Sagan. Renowned renowned author and leader of the Third Reich, here to promote the republishing of his bestseller, Mein Kampf, it's Adolf Hitler. And lastly, author of his new autobiography, Believing in Myself, it's Justin Bieber. Thank you. First question. You in the turtleneck.
My question is for Mr. Carl Sagan. What do you think of the remake of your Cosmo series?
I made a series to watch stoned. They made one for being on cocaine.
Next question. You in the 1940s Hugo Boss outfit.
Hi, my question is for Hitler. What is your favorite movie?
Honestly, it's too hard to choose between either of the Miss Congeniality films.
Next, you in the... Justin, sit down! No, don't stand in your seat. Sit like a good boy. Here, do some coloring and... stop sucking on your thumb, or I'll tell your mummy! No, put the crack pipe down! I won't tell you again! Next question. You with the face tattoo.
My question is for Carl Sagan. Do you believe in the possibility of multiple universes?
It's a possibility, and definitely more likely than a magic man in the sky.
Next question. You in the lab coat.
Mr. Hitler, how close were they, you to a nuclear weapon, Mr. Hitler?
Not that close. Early on, one guy forgot to carry the one, and our calculations were always off since then. I tried shooting him, but he still didn't get it right. Actually, his work went very downhill after that.
Next question. You, the 14-year-old girl. My question is for Justin. What's your greatest accomplishment so far? Justin? Oh, sorry, hon. He's having his nap. It's my fault. I shouldn't have given him his bottle just now. Next question. You holding the papier-mâché swastika.
Hi, Adolf. Big fan. My question is, what is the best place you have ever invaded?
Ooh, that's a tough one. The south of France is, of course, gorgeous, and who can deny southern Italy? But for the sake of argument, I will go with Croatia. It looks so beautiful, lit up during the Blitzkrieg.
Okay, we have time for one more question. You, holding the Bible.
My question is for Carl Sagan. How can you possibly deny the truth written in the Bible?
Well, you see, because in the beginning, I picked up more than just one book.
That's all we have time for today. Join us again for more Writers Without Borders.
Another enlightening Q&A. I'll have to check out Miss Congeniality 1 and 2. Last up tonight, Batman is needed.
Master Bruce, the bat signal is in the sky.
Ah, goddammit. It's always in the middle of dinner. All right, Alfred, put my pizza pops under the heat lamp and cancel my appointments.
Your appointments?
The hooker, Alfred.
Hurry up, Master Wayne. The signal's been in the sky for 20 minutes.
Sorry, I had to shower and shave. Okay, I'm ready. Time to save Gotham. Ah, hang on. Where are my keys? Ah, shit. I can't be late again. Christian Gordon's gonna shit a brick.
They were on the side.
Which side? This room has four walls, Alfred.
By the bear spray.
We call it bat spray.
I call it autism, but whatever.
They aren't here.
Under the penthouse forums.
Alfred, have you been reading my penthouse forums?
No.
Then why are my keys stuck to the back page?
I'm sorry.
Whatever, just clean this place up. I have lives to save. Alfred, have you been driving a Batmobile again?
No.
Why does it smell like pot in here?
That's where that Jamaican fella you are.
You mean my doctor? Alfred, we need to talk. Your work has been getting sloppier and sloppier over the last few months, and maybe it's time you found another position.
If you wish, Master Bruce, I will just collect my things. I'm sure you can find someone else to do that thing to you that most people only do in prison.
On second thoughts, you can stay. And, here, have the Batmobile tonight. It's fine. I'll take the Kia Sorento. I wonder if Ask Jeeves misses being a butler. He probably also misses being asked questions. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Alright, there you go. That was another episode of White Noise. I hope you guys enjoyed that. What did you guys think, Connor and Sierra?
I listen to my voice a lot more than I usually do. Simon's used to that, though.
Was it terrifying?
It was. I don't usually do all the female voices. And all the male ones, too.
Yeah, actually, this week, I think me and Connor did more female voices than you did. Or maybe even, I think. But actually, no, I only did one, what am I saying? But
yeah. Maybe next time we'll take a bit of testosterone and see if that helps.
Yeah, well, that's a sad thing, though, is there isn't going to be a next time for you for a while, is there? Sierra's leaving us.
There's not.
Shit, it's the leaving us.
Well, hang on. But your flight, you said, is delayed. So is it delayed past Monday?
No, I think I'm flying out on Monday.
Okay, well, let me see what I can do. Because I've been planning to write the show not on Mondays anymore. Because the anxiety is starting to kill me, I think. So I'm going to try and write it
you
on the...
You suffer from anxiety?
I do when I try and do that every bloody Monday. So I'm thinking of trying to write it on
Monday,
the weekend.
Bloody Monday.
Maybe we can get Sierra in for one more week. Hopefully without Connor doing any singing.
I'm Bono.
That was not Connor.
You
that
did
was...
a great Michael Caine, but your Bono, it was okay. You know, I think you need to get a bit more Irish.
It was
right?
Maybe better than mine.
Bono doesn't have a strong Irish accent.
Well, yeah, but you got to ham it up for the radio. Because okay. Then we go, oh, he's Irish. Because you see...
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Most Americans aren't really aware what he speaks like. But if he was really Irish... I mean, I don't sound like a leprechaun. But like, if it was more Irish, I think it would have worked.
You do realize leprechauns aren't real.
Yeah, but I people tend to do that... horrible Lucky Charms Irish accent when they try and...
Oh, he's got my Lucky Charms, hasn't he?
Exactly. Nobody sounds like that.
Go down to the pub for some Guinness, eh?
Yeah.
I don't remember Lucky Charms.
I'm pretty sure that's like a hate crime talking like that. Okay, we're going to play a song.
I'm pretty Irish. I promise I didn't mean it.
It's okay. I'm technically half Irish.
I am an Irish citizen, so I can do
it. Okay, we've got two Irish people in here, so we're going to speak for Ireland right now and say it's fine. We don't care. We've got Conor McGregor, so...
We've got worse jokes on that show.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing we said tonight, probably.
About Ireland, even.
Yeah, okay. It's true. Yeah, there were some jokes in there only Irish people would have got, probably, as well. Or at least people who were aware of, like, the Republican
who
conflict.
Who wasn't aware of the IRA?
People born after 1989, which is our target audience.
People
so.
Living in Mozambique.
Well, I was born in 95, and I don't know.
All right, well, you're well informed. All right, I bet if we took a poll, who knows
well
about...
Informed.
Yeah, I just think on that issue, it's not, you know, it's not exactly... It's not as exciting... or as interesting, perhaps, as other subjects have been, or just as focused on. And like in the last 10 years,
as Donald
no
Trump's
one...
squelchy brain that smells.
Yeah, unless you're watching like
Al
Jazeera or BBC World, you're not getting a lot of IRA stories, are you?
Good point.
Unless you listen to Sunday Bloody Sunday,
which I do recommend. That U2 War is the one album I like by them. Not when Connor sings it, of course. I hope that didn't put you off. Please still go listen to that album and then ignore the other 20 years.
The rest of the music we're debuting tonight is just Connor singing U2 songs, so tune in.
No, thank God it isn't. So first up tonight is Reef Shark with See Ya Never. We'll be back in a minute. Go to the bathroom, do what you gotta do, and come listen to some more music.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
All right, there you go. We just heard the Dearly Bereft with Some Devil. That was a good track, that one.
That was a nice one, yeah. Sort of mellow, but nice.
Yeah, well, you know, we like to just sort of do indie stuff on here. Sometimes we have a couple of punk tracks or something a bit hip-hoppy, but really, it's kind of our bread and butter.
I feel like Kind Of was a nice parallel to some of our sketches as well. Some of them were a bit sad.
I don't think this week we had anything.
Well, the one that ended with a flight going to Guantanamo Bay was kind of impressive.
Just so everyone knows, Connor wrote that one. That was
quite proud of it. He wants everyone to know.
I'm not smiling.
Yeah, well, it was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a good song too.
Yeah, but if you like it, you probably can't find it anywhere besides CITR.
I was talking about his sketch, but that's true too.
Whoops.
But yeah, no, it was definitely a bit edgy. Like, we had a couple of lines in there that were a bit, I'm sure, made a few people uncomfortable.
All those three listeners, I'm sure they were really,
yeah, one of them super offended. Yeah.
Shout out to you guys.
we're not in the room or anything.
So that kind of does lead me into my next question, which was one of the characters, of course, this week was Hitler. And, you know, he's one of those characters that is a bit taboo in comedy and in a lot of art.
Is he?
In a sense, yeah. I think some people would still get upset about you parodying him and sort of because he, you know, has this such, stigma to him. I think, yeah, we've done Stalin before, but I felt more worried, not so much. Well, I'm never really worried because I don't think there was anything wrong with it, but I was more concerned that some people might take it the wrong way than I was when we did Stalin or Mao or, like, you know, we had.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's a bit closer to home, really, I think is the problem.
But you see Hitler in so many weird remakes and knockoffs.
I guess it's true, because I guess you could look at, like, the producers and stuff where they kind of took that, you know.
Fawlty Towers did a bit of a knockoff.
That's true.
Enfield.
Even Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah. Yeah, weird. But yeah, for some reason, I still was like, ooh, I wonder if this is too much.
I think you touched on the right point, is that, yeah, at least for us three, I think, not for us, for everyone, but yeah, Hitler does ring closer to home. Mao is doing terrible things, did terrible things. In a faraway place that we aren't as acquainted with.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, being sort of European descendants, we learn a lot about Europe and about how that affected the world.
Well, yeah, because it's our grandparents' generation. It's not like we're talking about the Battle of 1066. We're talking about something that happened in the last 100 years. So, yeah. You know, it's still pretty raw for some people that, you know, the end of their lives, but they're still hanging around, some of them. You know, people who were kids. I mean, that was one thing we talked a lot about growing up in England that they don't talk about here, was all the kids who were refugees from England to the north and to, like, away from the cities, and they went to, like, the countryside. Do you ever remember getting taught about that?
Like Witch in the Wardrobe.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's a theme of it in The Land of the Witch in the Wardrobe, of course.
Oh, I haven't read that book in a long time. But,
oh, I bet you hate religious people, don't you?
That was probably, I think, yeah, now I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to read Lewis Carroll, but.
No, I think you should. They were, I mean, they
C.S.
are.
They
are. Oh, it's C.S. Lewis.
Lewis Carroll.
They're both rubbish.
No, you should, though. You should read
them. I could have just let that go.
Yeah, I should have let it. No, it's fine. It's fine. I knew it didn't sound right when I said it, but yeah. So, yeah. So, you still were saying it's okay to joke about Hitler?
Well, I mean, no. Is it okay is a difficult question.
Well, I think it has to be done well.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, we'll joke about things that are even closer to home. Like, for right now, I mean, Donald Trump is this huge joke, but in reality,
yeah. But he hasn't committed genocide yet.
But he's a really terrifying character, and it's like right here, right now, and we're waiting for this joke to stop, but it's not ending. And it's,
yeah, but that's what comedy is partly about: is taking things that are horrible and terrifying and making light of them, which makes them less scary in a sense.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because we'll joke about.
It's like the Boggart in Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting parallel. And I wonder if J.K. Rowling was thinking about that. I'm sure she must have, because she's like, you know, like every...
It's a way of mastering your fears.
Yeah, because if you look at all the things in her book, like what everything's called, like it all has, you know, derives from something, like even the characters' names.
It's all symbolic, has meaning.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Every spell has something to it, like there's some
Accio.
Thought in it. Pardon?
Accio.
What's that do?
Come here thing.
That's Accio.
No, in the yeah, well, yeah, it is, but in it's the movies, in the movies, they pronounce it stupidly. So,
Oh well, Stephen Fry pronounced it Accio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Stephen Fry would pronounce something
I'm sorry,
Accio.
But who are we gonna take?
I said that for the popular sort of interpretation, but I absolutely agree with you. So yeah, Accio book, whatever.
Yeah, Accio. That's what it is, isn't it?
Accio.
Because is it double C?
It is double C, but I can't remember how he pronounces it.
Everyone pronounces it differently.
Yeah, I think
it's written,
Accio.
So.
I think it's what he says. Yeah. I think that's what he says. Okay, well, I'm glad we cleared that up. My next thought tonight is, obviously, Christmas just happened. Anything happen to anybody over Christmas?
I had an interesting holiday.
Oh, yeah?
Got my whole family together, so there were 9 of us, including my sister's boyfriend-turned-fiancé. We hear on Christmas Eve, first, that she's pregnant, so in a formerly/presently Catholic household, interesting to get that news first, but my mom was way too excited for that to matter. And then we hear a few days later, when my sister's out shopping, that her boyfriend's about to propose. So interesting sequence of events there, but of course we're very happy for her. But God, she was miserably sick the whole time. I mean, there's no better birth control than that, right?
Yeah, or just spending...
No better birth control than having a baby.
Yeah, or spending time...
Seeing your sister pregnant.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Okay. Or spending... You know, I spend some time with my nieces, and I think they're great, but I don't want one permanently. Like,
a permanent niece?
A permanent child in my life, you
it's
know.
It's like Airbnb, you know, you rent the baby.
Airbnb.
Baby and baby.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess I had something sort of... something funny that happened was I decided to go fishing on this lake in Ontario where we were staying, and all they had was like one of those paddle boats where you know guy sits either side and you paddle and you know usually go on a pond or something with it. Mm-hmm. Well, we go out in this huge lake with it and our fishing rods, and then the tide just pushes us out to the point where it took us an hour and a half to paddle back to the cabin. We had to stop every like 20 minutes for a rest. Like, I was just knackered by the time we got there. That was pretty exhausting. Okay,
we're trying to work off the mince pies.
Yeah, well, this was like it was like the day before Christmas, and it was Christmas Eve, so we were like, oh yeah, just priming the pumps, you know. It's
right.
I had a weird, not it's funny, but on Christmas Eve, me and my family were in the UK, as they live in the UK, and we were going to watch the London firework display. And before we went out into the city itself, we were sort of getting ready, we had our tickets. And with the tickets came a little brochure of, like, what to do, where to go, gives you a little map and stuff. And one of the things it sort of said was, like, oh, yeah, don't bring, like, food or drink into the enclosure. Don't bring, like, strollers, prams, those kinds of things. But except for assistance dogs. Assistance dogs. Why are blind people going to watch fireworks?
Well, maybe the
assistance dogs can be for any, like,
they might like the noise.
Disability, though.
You know, I mean, I can see, and I don't want to go see fireworks, so I don't really see the appeal. But you know, it's well. I mean, I understand the appeal when you're a kid because you haven't seen them before. But once you've seen them a few times, it's not a lot of surprises.
But
you could
argue very similarly about any sort of spectacle. You could argue someone can make the same argument about a football match.
No,
but no, you could though.
No, because there's no stake in it, and there's no, you know, there's no tension to it. It's not like, oh, are the fireworks going to win or not?
But that's not true, because there is tension, because there's a whole countdown, and then then there's explosions, and there is a sense of group camaraderie and experience and being part of something. You're all.
Really? Feeling camaraderie? I'm just hating the people next to me.
I mean, they were all drunk.
I wish there was a bit more room, because this guy next to me kind of smells a bit. You know, like, that's usually my only thoughts. Or I wish he'd get off his freaking phone, because it's just distracting me when I'm trying to watch something. But you know, I'm one of those people that I you know, a few people around's good. You know, I'm not like, I don't want to be on my own, but you know, there's a limit, surely. Like,
yeah, no, I agree, but yeah, it was a cool experience. Though, just being out there, yeah, in amongst, you know, London, representing the city of London is like, it's my home to a degree, and so yeah, taking part in that, I thought was, yeah, it was quite cool.
All right, yeah, that is
set up way too late.
Yeah, no, I got a massive headache on New Year's Eve, and then I was like trying to stick it out, and at 1:30, the people I was with started playing, someone pulled out a GameCube and started playing Mario Kart, and there were four women playing Mario Kart and screaming because they're all hammered, and I literally nearly fell off my chair because my head hurt so much, and was like, I'm going home, I'm sorry, like didn't even finish my like last three beers.
Wait, so you're suggesting that you didn't take a controller and beat them?
Well, one of them is getting married to me brother, so might not, it wouldn't have been a great impression.
So you should have
exactly
got him to
beat
her.
That's exactly what
you need to do. No, I don't think that would have worked out. I think it's time for another song. So next song we're going to play is something we all kind of wanted to play. It's not on our regular playlist.
Simon Says.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. Well done, Colin. So this one's from England. It's by one of our favourite bands, Metronomy, who come here every now and then and do a killer show. So do go see them if they come to town. Because you'll want to once you've heard this song. This is Metronomy with The Bay.
Quarter Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite
indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the pop underground, Thursdays noon to 1.
Every second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women in Career Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer-identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
Here we go. It's funky. All right, guys, we're back in the studio. Simon Welton with Sierra Wiley and Connor Neckleput on the White Noise After Show. That's right, it's half an hour where we're doing a bit of chit-chat and a bit of cool music. So continuing the conversation, my next question to everybody is, do you have New Year's resolutions? Should you have New Year's resolutions?
I want to tackle the second question first, because I feel this year, more than anything else I've heard, there's been a lot of aggression about the concept of a resolution itself, mm-hmm. trying to say, oh, what a terrible thing, you know, just making fun of the people who all go to the gym on January 1st, and the fact that you're just making these lofty goals for yourself that you're inevitably going to break and then be depressed about. But I really like the concept of self-improvement, and I think the January 1st as a reason for everyone to get out there and go make themselves better is a really great thing to do. And if it happens to be a stereotypical day to try and make this plan for self-improvement, like, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mistake a lot of people make is when they think of a resolution, they see it as this thing that once you break it, then you failed and that's it and you're done and you give up. And if you thought of it, like, I like to think of it as goals for the year.
Right.
Like, what am I going to try and do this year, you know, in terms of my writing, in terms of my, you know, being fitter or healthier. Like, I want to run a triathlon. So, I'm going to do that in June. So I'll set goals. And, you know, just because I don't go for as many runs this week as I'd hoped, doesn't mean I'm going to give up. I'm just like, okay, next week I'm going to try and do it better. And, yeah, like, I feel like as long as we get away from this, well, once you screw up, that's it. You know, I'm just going to sod it. Like, you know, whatever it is, just keep at it. And yeah, whether it's giving up smoking or trying to eat healthier or exercise or, you know, read more, whatever it is, just because you didn't do it this week doesn't mean you can't do it next week.
Yeah, and I think another thing to consider is to change the perception of it, to have it be less negative and focus on the addition of things to your life rather than the subtracting. So often in past missions to make New Year's resolutions, I've thought about how I'm going to take something away, you know, stop eating this, stop having these unhealthy behaviors, you know, stop watching TV, whatever. And I've realized that's kind of a negative way to think about things, and rather change it into something I'm going to add more things that I enjoy, more things I find enriching, like reading more, doing more artistic activities, you know, painting, writing, whatever. Things that make me happy rather than things that I'm taking away.
And I think if you are doing that, it has the sort of automatic effect then of affecting those things that are more negative for you, because you'll have less time to sit around watching telly. Or, you know, yeah, if you're just worried about what you're actually going to do in the meantime, that's a great way of thinking about it. So do you have any New Year's resolutions you'd like to share with everybody?
Just to piggyback, actually, just very quickly on what you guys have been saying, I think this year was the first year that I've ever actually really considered the idea of a resolution as something, as you guys have just sort of said, to actually improve myself. Ironically, I realized this over Christmas. My parents sort of said, oh, hey, is there anything you like for Christmas from us? And I was like, not really. I have no idea what I want for Christmas. And in that, there was a certain epiphany I had of going, if my parents or whoever's offering me the chance to spend a bit of money on me and there's literally nothing in the world I want, that means that I'm not working towards anything. That means, because otherwise I could get maybe some, maybe a coupon for some free lessons at guitar or something, or I could get something, some sort of like music instrument to help me get into music, or anything like that, a microphone help record things. And so that epiphany then resounded with me when it came out to New Year's, which obviously follows right after. I thought, yeah, actually, as you've just said, Simon, and obviously as Sierra's been alluding to as well, the idea of setting goals for yourself, what you'd like to achieve by the end of the year, actually really struck with me. And it's cool, I think, yeah, to think of something like, hey, this year, I don't want to not do something, as you guys have just said, but I want to learn how to program. I want to learn how to do some coding. Something like that. I want to pursue an ambition to make me a more well-rounded person, to improve my skill set, as well as just to do things that might be better for you, like, yeah, getting fit, maybe perhaps reading a bit more, writing a bit more.
You know, that's why I think it's good. Like, with me, it's really good that I decided to do a triathlon, because then that is a tangible goal, which gives you a bit of encouragement, because you're like, shoot, I got to perform in a few, you know, I paid the deposit, I got to do this thing now. And that's that, you need that sort of encouragement. It's very hard to just say this vague idea of, all right, I'm going to get fit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, it's one thing to say, all right, I'm going to lose this weight, or I'm going to lose this amount of inches off my stomach or something like that. But I don't think that's, it needs to be something more exciting than that, I think, to motivate you. Like, that might work for some people, but usually, perhaps that's an, you know, underlining body issue that they have rather than, like, you know, something they enjoy.
And I think too often we try to make very physical resolutions, you know, like there's so much more to making yourself a more well-rounded, dynamic person than just improving the look of your body.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, it's so very true. Yeah.
Which I like what you guys have said about your resolutions, that it's more about, you know, all methods of self-improvement, because too often it's just losing weight, getting fit, bikini body.
For me, that I don't, you know, for me, it's more about health as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Like, no, I think that's a better way to think about it. It's more constructive rather than just being, I want to be fit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also, it takes about a hell of a lot of time to just do it for, you know, physique. Like, it's, my brother goes to the gym like 2 hours a day. And I'm like, man, you could write, like, you know, all sorts in that time, or, you know, you could have an amazing hobby that you get excellent at if you put in 2 hours
cost?
A day.
Right. Yeah.
If you put 10 hours in a week at something, or probably 12, I think he puts in, you could do a hell of a lot with that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was like 17, I used to spend like 2 hours a day maybe working out, and physically I felt pretty good. You know, I was doing all those things that you were supposed to do to have a healthy lifestyle, but I wasn't pursuing anything that made me happy artistically, emotionally, that sort of thing. I feel you're really missing out when you're not exploring your passions on a deeper level than just surface.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, it sucks when you get to the end of a year and you think to yourself, what have I actually done this year? Like, I've worked,
exactly.
I've, you know, bought some stuff, but what have I improved in myself? What have I actually changed and made myself better at? You know, because you don't have to go to school. Like, I know we're all doing that, and that's a big thing. But after school, I don't think you should stagnate either. I think that even if you're pursuing your career, you know, you should still be doing things on the side. I mean, some people don't have the time if you do start a family or something like that. You know, but if you're not, if you're single, like, Christ, you've got time. Like, don't, you know, if you're working a 40-hour week a job, you've got 8 hours basically every night. If you're in, you know, you're in work for 8 hours. And then there's 8 hours besides your sleep that you have available. Yes, you have commuting and things like that, but if you're commuting, you can be reading, you can do all sorts on the bus, you could be learning a language, you could, you know, you have to sit there. And people go, oh, it's good to just sit and stare out the window. No, bollocks, like, who cares? you do the same route every bloody day. What are you going to see that you haven't seen before? And yeah, you might be able to have a conversation with someone on the bus.
You're going to see your Facebook feed, that's what you're
going to
see.
Yeah, most people don't want to have a talk with you on the bus because they're going to work, or they're tired, or they're hungover, or, you know, like, you don't have to have a conversation on the bus. It doesn't make you a bad person to do some self-improvement then. Like, you know, I think that's a valid point. But.
And I think the idea of having the new year as a little marker, or a nice little bow tie place to stop and reconsider and actually deconstruct your life a little bit and think and sit down with yourself and think,
reflect.
Hey, like, yeah, what am I doing? I have a certain number of years to live. I have ambitions. Don't let yourself be passive and that you just go through life without thinking of what the opportunities are or what you might want to accomplish to make yourself, like, yeah, not more interesting, but a more experienced person. And so I think it's important to remember, I mean, New Year's is only a mark. You could do it whenever you want, But it provides a convenient opportunity to stop and reconsider your life. Say, why am I doing this? What do I want to be doing? Am I happy? And then use those answers that you sort of find within yourself to go, okay, well, with that, I want to therefore pursue X, Y, and Z, or else improve in these ways, or just totally revamp the way you're living, because you know what? You're not actually happy and you haven't really been considering it. So I think it's really just getting that thought in your mind that things don't have to be the same as they've been, and rethink what your life is and how you're doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what I hope is that it allows you to do that before you hit some sort of rock bottom. I mean, my favorite one I've heard is one of my brothers said he hit rock bottom when he got caught drink driving in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, no.
And he's like 60 pounds overweight, just sitting there going like, what have I done with my life?
And that's one way to hit that.
Yeah, okay.
How do you get clocked in the drive? Was the police officer in the window?
I'm not quite sure, but I think he literally followed him in and went, this guy's had a bit to drink.
Is there a breathalyzer that said you've had some really unhealthy hamburgers?
Yeah, when you order your meal and actually take your alcohol intake.
Maybe they just looked at what he ordered and went, that guy's bloody pissed. He's just ordered 40 chicken nuggets. Like, Jesus Christ. All right, time for a song. Let's listen to Jenny Lee and we'll be right back.
Appleton, Beyonce, or nothing in game.
All right, there you go. That was Future Kids with White Girl in a Wu-Tang Clan shirt. In a Wu-Tang shirt. I play that just because of the name of the song. But it's a good album, actually. So check that out. It's Future Kids. And the album's This Is Everything. All right, so we've got one more topic on the White Noise After Show before we do say adieu at 12:30 tonight. So the question is... we're sort of a topic that's come up, and I'm actually going to let Sierra, it was her idea to bring up the topic, so I'm going to let her introduce it. So tell us about safe places. What are we talking about?
Well, I think this is an idea that's really come up under, I've seen it, social media, news stories, just in the way that my friends or people I know will present ideas. It's about shutting out other opinions or other people's way of presenting something because it makes you uncomfortable, or you're trying to take away their right to have an opinion because of the way you feel. So it's manifested itself with students at universities from Yale to Oxford shutting out debates on controversial topics such as abortion because they don't feel comfortable hearing an alternate opinion. And I feel, and a lot of people feel, that this is incredibly problematic.
Yeah, this actually perplexes me in a sense because, doing a Bachelor of Art, the whole bloody point of it is that you listen to all these different arguments and you try and be as informed as possible before having any thought on something. You try and read everything.
Yeah.
So why the hell would students of all people go for this sort of action? It obviously comes from a sense of wanting to protect people. I mean, I know I have friends in the women's studies programs here who said they've had, professors talk about things like this sort of topic of the idea that, like, all naming of things is evil, and that by labeling things, you then are basically, it's like a hate sort of act by doing so. And, like, yeah, this is a legitimate argument that they have, that they say. And obviously, I think that what they're trying to get at here is people who perhaps are born of a different gender than what they connect to and what they feel they are and what they are. I'm not saying that they just feel that way. I'm saying they very well are. So I think this is maybe they're worried about that. But to me, it's like, I think that's, what are you going to do? Not name them. Like, it does, it's an argument that just is not practical. It really isn't. And maybe this is where this sort of stuff's coming from, where you're literally getting down to, well, we have to protect all these people because they're vulnerable. And, you know, it's weird to me because it's like, it feels like the same thing as participation ribbons in that we're not allowed to actually say anymore that people are better than other people at certain things because that's what, you know, winning medals was as a kid. And yeah, it kind of sucked when you didn't win things, but that was, it's a good lesson in life that you have to have some humility and realize that sometimes you don't win everything and that's okay. That doesn't make you a worse person. That just is life, you know. I don't know. What do you guys think?
My issue with it is just the whole anti-intellectualism of it. It's the same people who are going to top-notch universities and claim to be very well-read and well-rounded people who are going off on this tirade about how strong their opinions are, and they are so, so right that anyone who has a different opinion is just wrong and they should be not necessarily shot down to that extreme, but I've almost heard that type of language.
Yeah.
And it's this shutting out of other people's voices that I find so incredibly hypocritical and problematic.
I know what you mean. And I feel like one subject that maybe helps with this sort of thing, and one subject I would recommend to everybody to take just at least an entry-level course in, is anthropology. Because I think the best message and the most important message we got from that class, it was taught by Dr. Wade Davis, who is a phenomenal guy. He's been a National Geographic explorer for 30 years, traveled all over the world, written best-selling books. Like, the guy is a brilliant ambassador for his field, and that's why he's teaching here now for the like first time just in the last couple of years. So if you are at UBC, get into Wade Davis's Anthropology 100 if you have a chance to do it. It's an absolute treat. I mean, all the slides and pictures are his own work from all his travels, and the examples he gives are beautiful. And what it really, the main message you get out of it is that our understanding of the world and our interpretation of what it means to be human is just one interpretation of that, and that doesn't make us right ever. You know, what we do helps to function in our society, and we feel, you know, helps us to, you know, the way we interact with people and our customs and our behaviors, as, you know, vague as we can talk about those things, because of course individuals have very different styles of doing things even within just our culture. And I'm, you know, we've talked about this before, being that the idea of culture is a bit silly in a sense with our culture because it's become so diverse, but it still holds that, you know, this sort of thought process and this sort of viewpoint, that if you take it, it means then that you're susceptible to at least listening to everyone's argument, as you should do, because how the hell can you possibly be an informed opinion if you haven't heard every argument that you could possibly can on any subject?
The thing that surprises me about this sort of movement of sorts is that it's mainly at the prerogative of liberal-minded or liberal-identifying students, but in itself, and as we've just been discussing, it shuts down people, and by shutting down people, you're shutting down entire existences and experiences.
Exactly, it's exactly an anti-liberal idea.
Exactly, not a liberal idea.
It's hypocrisy, but that's because you know, it's there is this freedom of idea that's sort of linked with socialism and leftism. But it's people taking it to the extreme, in the same way that it goes with the right and their problems with the right, in that you have these extreme groups who take something that maybe in its foundations isn't that bad and they distort it to the point where it becomes intolerable.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think it's also the whole thing's fraught with paradoxes and curious hypocrisies. But also I think it does touch on an interesting philosophical question, and that is individualism versus equality. At surface level, they don't necessarily seem contradictory, but it's sort of quick to see how individualism, celebrating uniqueness and difference, can become disconnected in competition with the idea that everyone is level playing field the same, and how those two ideas can not support each other in celebrating everyone's difference and that everyone is equal and has the same rights as everyone else.
But that's because, you know, what you have to understand is, yes, we should be free, but that doesn't mean there isn't a line of, you know, hate speech and sort of things that, do affect people greatly. But I think, you know, that comes down to the arena, which is if it's in the workplace, if it's in someone's home, they have a right to their own freedom and not to be offended and not to be harassed or have anything come onto them. You know, at work, you shouldn't have to listen to people, you know, disrespect your beliefs and things like that, as long as they're not interfering with the work in some sense. But in a university classroom or in a debate hall that is sanctioned between two scholars, then that is the environment where we should have these difficult discussions. Even on the radio isn't a bad place to do it, because you have the right to tune in and out, and and that's fine. But there is lines to that freedom, and that's just common sense. Like a younger me was very interested in sort of libertarian ideas, but the more and more you think about it, it becomes like, what it lacks libertarianism is the idea of positive liberties, the idea that we should provide a minimum standard for people to then reach their potential on their own, i.e. they should be able to get the education they need to be successful later in life, even if they can't afford it, because otherwise how the hell are they ever going to get anywhere? Like, it's hard enough to pay for school with government help of student loans and things like that. We're all doing it, and it's bloody hard. So if we took away even those basic things that we have now, a lot of people would not go to university that otherwise would make fantastic researchers and scholars in their own right. And who the hell is anyone else to deny them those opportunities? Do you want to say something, Sarah?
And the interesting thing is, the exact same people who are being denied those opportunities are the people who would provide an alternate side to the debates that are so closed, and they're shutting out these outside opinions. I mean, I remember I went to school in a relatively privileged neighborhood, and I mean, I had the opportunity to read a lot of diverse materials, go to school with lots of different people. But I remember from a young age not really understanding the ideas of homosexuality and not understanding why people would want to do this, and then being bullied by my friends for being heterosexual, which I thought was a bit ironic. But I wasn't that angry about it. I just wanted to understand, and I wanted an open environment to be able to just have an open discussion on, okay, why are you gay? Like, I'm not trying to come out and say I hate you or anything. I just don't get it from my perspective.
She grew up Catholic. This is why she's confused.
Right. And it's just, I wasn't trying to be judgmental. And if I came across that way, I mean, that was unfortunate. But it was just the reactions I got that were so strong that even pushed me further away from it initially.
Yeah, well, that's it. You have to have a little patience in these sort of debates and try and make your point in an intelligent and in a logical manner. And once you do that, people like you were then convinced, right? You began to understand it then, weren't you?
Yeah, the best kind of conversations I had in university were having very open challenges to my beliefs, like going to introductory world politics classes and have people being really challenged by the professor, and a lot of people hating it, but coming out better off for it. And I mean, I wouldn't have changed as a person if I didn't have to confront my beliefs in a challenging way and have to really rethink them by hearing another person's opinion. But if you never listen to someone else's opinion or someone else's side of the story, you're just going to get stronger and more polarized in your own beliefs. And that's a really dangerous thing to happen.
Especially with these powerful institutions of these Ivy League schools. If they don't have the diversity and the sort of the background of people coming from different economic backgrounds, they lose some insight into the real world. They're looking at it from one side in this really, one-dimensional sort of viewpoint. And they're, especially in subjects like philosophy and ethics and psychology and all these different things, it's so important to have a cross-cultural and social economic viewpoint of what's going on, because you're missing too much otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, we've been calling diversity having people from different racial backgrounds and people of different sexualities coming together, and yes, that is a form of diversity, but we're forgetting to think of the diversity of opinions and bringing that together, I think.
I mean, there I would say there is something frustrating about seeing creationists get as much airtime in the debate versus Bill Nye, who has got the backing of 97% of the scientific community, and it makes it look like it's more of a debate than it is, according to the community that spends their whole bloody life researching it. I don't care what, a lot of, there are papers out there and people who will point to publications of things that say the counter, but the data, usually it's a misreading of the data, or it's, something that's published because it's different to everything else that's being said, because that's the problem. And it's called the file drawer effect in research, which is if you publish a paper or try to publish a paper that says the exact same thing as another group who did this thing a year earlier, the journal isn't as interested in publishing it as something that might not be as accurate, but it says something completely different. That's much more sellable for them, and they are still a publishing
resume if it gets published.
And yeah, so you know, people who are editing these things aren't going to want to repeat themselves, even though that's what the data is doing and that's what actually is going on. And so this is something people should really consider when they keep seeing something that's totally different to the narrative of what they've heard on not just this subject but a lot of other subjects. Just think, maybe this is only being published partly because it says something different, and that doesn't make it just as valid as everyone else agreeing with the same thing. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, most people who are dedicating their lives to these very narrow subjects do understand that subject very well and are doing good research. So if you see an outlier, be very bloody suspicious of that outlier. What is their motive? Who is paying for that research? And why are they doing that research? Because I'm sure it wouldn't take long to find out that, you know, it turns out the, you know, there's some right-wing party or some, you know, some government PAC group or something like that behind it. Some NGO has some dodgy, you know, have you got
recently,
one?
Yeah, I was going to say, recently I read an article, actually, that claimed, I think it was a Guardian article from the UK, that claimed that the, I think Greenpeace had done some sort of undercover sort of sting and actually uncovered at least two professors, I think in relatively prestigious universities, are also well-published, who were offering to write or articles that contradicted global warming or the sort of consensus of climate change for money, for a price, for X amount per hour or for X amount per an article, whatever. So yeah, and selling their publication or their resume or so their
credibility,
of course.
Maybe that's what my right wing father is reading.
Yeah, no, maybe. But sounds like you're right. Everything has an agenda.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely does. I mean, I actually wrote a paper that I thought was kind of interesting about that, which is that even the education you receive always has to be biased. Any lesson you ever have in anything is inherently biased because you can only provide as much information as you have time to do so. So therefore, you have to leave something out, and therefore you are creating a bias because you're deciding what is important and what is not.
And you've got your thoughts going into writing the actual paper and determining which thing you're going to read or look into, and people are so quick to look at the bias of the opposing argument but not their own.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, we're attacking both sides here on what, you know, whatever they're publishing about, what is the agenda. Especially newspapers, they're a great example. Yeah. Like the Daily Mail and the Express in England are renowned for posting things that are arguably hate speech and are there to just rile up fear and distress in Britain for their own agendas, and it is disgusting. But you know, there's other attempts on the left as well to you know, twist things to suit their agenda. So you just got to be careful whatever it is you're reading.
And the saddest thing is, to bring this back sort of almost full circle, is that you think, well, what's the best way to get people to think about these issues critically? Education, a good maybe liberal arts background, but at least some sort of education. Higher education is better than lower, but lower is great. But then there are people who are trying to shut down that education, those conversations you'll have, those interesting, controversial topics you'll discuss and learn about. So even in trying to broaden your mind and to go to university and have people who are there supposedly for the same reason as you, and